find in the morning papers is hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in, it's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report on this Wednesday, the 21st of February, 2007. My guest today, Bob Schultz from We the People Foundation and We the People Congress, wethepeoplecongress.org, and also givemeliberty.org will take you to all the germane sites. And we've been talking with Bob about his experiences, how many years he's been fighting this. Several years ago, you may remember, Mr. Schultz was on television. He did a fast. The news media picked up on it. Bob, I was kind of embarrassed how badly these news medias handled you. I specifically remember, and it was just like it was yesterday, Hannity and Combs. Mm-hmm. And dear Mr. Hannity and Mr. Combs, well, they just kept repeating, well, Mr. Schultz, we don't want you to die. You know, we care about you. We want you to live. Stop this hunger strike. I mean, it was nothing about the issue of the illegality of the 16th Amendment or the IRS itself, but it caused such a storm. And you had been running ads in USA Today that cost you a pretty penny to run these full-page ads. So there was a lot of exposure over this and how the media handled it. It was just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, well, it's all part of the problem. I don't know. I think we just have to, you know, we were buying space. We had a contract for 12 full-page ads in USA Today at $67,000 each, and we got through four of them. I guess the first one was July of 2000, and then three early on in February, March of 2001. And then the USA Today called and said, we're not going to run anymore, Bob. We said, well, why not? He said, well, the tax people have been in talking to our legal people. And I said, and you don't want them to audit your books, and you've got things to hide, and you don't want them in there. So... I did say to them, I said, so your legal people have agreed with the IRS. And I said, well, why don't I come down and meet with your legal people and maybe they can and provide answers to the questions that the government won't answer. And this young lady was so naive. She said, great idea. I'll set it up. So anyway, needless to say, I went down, but they wouldn't see me. So, I remember clearly what CBS did to Joe Bannister. They, that gal that's Rahima Ellis, I think her name is, something like that. But anyway, she went out to interview Joe, and what a number they did on him. They showed him as a real knucklehead. He was out in his driveway, and his boys were there, and they had skateboards, and he thought he was just, you know, showing her that he's a family man playing with the kids. But they took a clip of that and made him out to be pretty much of a jerk.
Well, and at that same time, we've got to remember that many heads of companies and corporations were standing up against the IRS at the same time. So they needed a poster child in which they could throw their darts at, and they picked Joe Bannister. By the way, Joe Bannister, for you new listeners out there, if you're not familiar with him, he was an enforcer, a gun-toting guy for the IRS that started to look into the IRS information and decided they had no legal standing. We'll be right back.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Coming up in the end of March, we are going to, and I'm going to be there in Washington, D.C. Bob, tell the fine folks out there what you have planned for a demonstration in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's a three-day conference, and Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And on one half a day, we will assemble outside on Lafayette Park across from the White House, where we will be waiting once again for the government to send a representative to at least let us know when they will respond to our petitions for redress of grievances. They will. They've been served. They were served by a single person with a mask and a costume dressed as the character V in the V for Vendetta movie. they were served again on November 6th, and the government was informed that up to 100 such masked and costumed characters would be in Lafayette Park waiting for a response on November 14th, and there were actually about 60 or 65 there, and no response. and we had said if there was no response, then a larger number, maybe as many as 1,000, will assemble in Lafayette Park and, again, wait for a response. What's important here, people say, well, why do you do that? Why petition repeatedly? And why go through the trouble of assembling and waiting for a response, which when you know it's not coming? I remind everybody to look at their Declaration of Independence. The bulk of the Declaration of Independence are the paragraphs where Jefferson and the founders were listing all of the grievances that the colonists had against the government that had been in place back then for 150 years. And the bulk of the Declaration of Independence are the, I think, the 27 grievances that are listed. And then at the end of those grievances, the Declaration has this capstone grievance. It says, "And we have petitioned for a redress of these grievances, and our repeated petitions have been met with repeated injury. And therefore," goes on and says, "therefore we're breaking our allegiance, and we're separating, we're going our own way, and if you don't like it, come get us." It's important to understand that Jefferson and others built a record over a 10-year period. I'm hoping we don't have to go 10 years. But they built a record over 10 years. And it was important for them to be able to show the world. And they said, you know, we're preparing this Declaration of Independence so that we can show the world why it is we're doing this. And it was important for them to have a record and to be able to show that they repeatedly petitioned for a redress of these grievances, they called it, and that their repeated petitions were met with repeated injury, as is happening to us today. So we've been building a record over these last few years. We've given the government lots of opportunity to respond to our petitions for redress. And the record clearly shows, and this is very important in our lawsuit before the court now, as Mark Lane is quick to say, there's never been a case like this where the record is so clear and so long and so detailed. That record shows that we have been respectful, that we've been professional, intelligent, rational in our approach, and that the government has not responded at all to these petitions. Now, of course, we have two new ones because you could use this petition process to solve, to remedy any grievance. We, the people, have a number of grievances. We addressed four of them in our four petitions, but we also have the problem today of illegal immigration. We have laws on the books, clearly passed, there are laws passed by Congress. If there's an illegal immigrant in this country, he or she is to be picked up and deported. Like it or not, that's the law. And anybody that harbors an illegal immigrant is subject to a penalty. Anybody that employs an illegal immigrant is subject to a penalty. That is the law. And we have in Article 2 of the Constitution, which deals with the executive branch, it clearly states that the president, not only must he take an oath to uphold the Constitution, defend it, but the Constitution mandates, it uses these words, he shall faithfully execute the laws. And he's not doing that. He's simply not doing that. And so we're expected to follow the law, but they're not.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. They can arbitrarily pick and choose as to what laws they're going to enforce, but my goodness, Bob, if you have any questions about the IRS, their illegalities, their procedures, and anything else, Well, you're just dealt with swiftly and harshly by one of these federal henchmen they have sitting on the benches.
But it's a whole lot worse. It's supposed to be a whole lot worse when government officials break the law. They're supposed to be above, you know, they're not above the law, but they're supposed to be
the standard of the execution of the law.
Yeah, and held to a much higher standard than we are held to. So it's a lot worse, and they don't. They just don't care. It's not being violated. It's not being enforced. So we have all of these millions, you know, coming in, putting a great stress and strain on tax-supported facilities, whether they be schools or hospitals or prisons and so forth. And then we have like 20 million of them now, and we have them beginning to talk about that this is our homeland. This belongs to Mexico. We're going to take it back. I mean, this is very serious.
At the very least, my friend, it's a Balkanization project. It reminds me biblically of Babylon, where the people could no longer communicate with each other because they couldn't understand each other's languages. This is a country. It's been cited many times, Bob, as being the melting pot of different cultures and religious beliefs and nationalities and races and you name it. But they came to this country, they assimilated into the culture, they learned the language, they took part in the, as is said before, the grand experiment, and all was well. But we have a little thing on the horizon, it's called global governance, and these are some of the tools that they use to literally destroy cultures, societies, and countries.
Well, you don't have to go, you know, on the horizon. It's called the welfare state here at home. I mean, you know, we have, I don't know that this is what role this actually plays in terms of its it being a magnet to draw people to this country, but we do have the welfare state, and these people receive assistance, public assistance. People are being forced. Money is being forcefully taken from people who earn it and being given to people who don't earn it. And that sort of thing. So anyway, they're a real problem.
They have a term for that. It's a nice term. It doesn't sound threatening at all. It's entitlements, Bob.
Yeah.
you're entitled to it.
Yeah. I'm sure most of the people are sweet, loving people. They were in Mexico or wherever. The government was really corrupt. It was a police state. You know, this is true. This is the Mexican culture. Mexico is very corrupt. And so they were more leaving, you know, that behind than heading to America to be to receive something, a free lunch. I think, you know, there was a lot of discontent in Mexico, and the government sees the border as a relief valve. Far better to have the pressure relieved by letting them, you know, and encouraging them and supporting their migration north than to let them stay and have that, all of that fester. Plus, the government of Mexico, bankruptcy, the fiscal collapse gets staved off to the extent that $50 billion or so is sent back to families and to Mexico from the illegal immigrants that are here.
But we've had precedents here that presidents have taken action on the illegal immigration, as they like to call it. I like to term it an invasion. Even Eisenhower sent back to Mexico, repatriated over 1 million illegals that were in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So it has worked before. We are constantly being told, while the gates are being held open to our friends to the south, that there's just too many of them, we're overloaded, we can't deal with it, we need more money, we need the technology, we need this, that, and the other. Bob, what a load of horse pucky that is, because they have the ICE people, formerly the Immigration Naturalization Service, has stated that until you have a quota of so many illegals rounded up and in your jails, we're not going to come by and pick them up. We have been spoon-fed so much garbage. County sheriffs in their own counties right now could start rounding up illegals if the ICE people had the capability of picking these people up and shoving them back over the border, there'd be sleeves being rolled up, sweat would be on the brow, the work would be well underway to get these people out of this country and repatriate them to their home country, that being Mexico. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war. And liberty for their descendants. Thanks to the renegades, we're free today.
Yeah, folks, we're renegades. The only thing we want our elected representatives to do is to pay attention to what they swore to in the first place, to uphold and defend the Constitution against enemies, both foreign and domestic. Let's go to the phones here. A gentleman's been patiently waiting. Fred in Pennsylvania. Hello, Fred.
Thanks, John. Bob, I know that Ed's problems are with the government are just not going to go away. What is going to happen to Ed eventually?
Well, it's anybody's guess, of course. One option is that he. And Elaine decide to surrender at this point, because that's what it would be. they decide to resist with every means possible. I know there's weapons there in the house. I know people have come with weapons to be with him. I don't know what's going to happen. I just don't know.
Actually, I think, Bob, the weapons have already been confiscated.
No, no. They were at one time in May, I think. They raided and took about 30 firearms from Ed's home and his business, I think. But when I was there, he had a handgun in his belt, and there were rifles leaning against the walls at each level, on each level of the house.
And do you think that's a bad thing?
I'm not going to comment on that. I can't comment on that. That's an individual choice.
Well, my question is, what can he do that is legitimate during this process to spread the word? Can he maybe get an interview on big media?
He has had Fox News. They came once. I mean, other networks and all the papers out there are covering it very closely. But Fox came once, and then he was not happy with the way that he handled the matter, and he would not allow them back. But eventually they pleaded, and he eventually gave them another interview. But the media, he has been on the media.
Now, is the case being explained properly by the media, by the big media?
Well, they what they see, of course, is that he was in court. He left. They both left. She decided to go back, and neither one of them had an attorney. She tried to handle, you know, the closing arguments and whatnot herself. The jury convicted both of them. So the media reports that it was a tax trial. She was a dentist. They were charged with, and the government was demanding $650,000. For, I don't know, 1 or 2 years, whatever it was, and they refused to pay.
He has the right to go home from a trial, even in the middle of a trial. He has the right to do that.
No, but he would not go back to the courtroom. It was at the end of, I guess, the prosecution was ready to rest. They had another half a day, maybe. But after 3 days, he decided not to go back.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if they proceeded anyway, then I think that they have given up their right to force him back. What do you think? If they've proceeded and they went towards a conviction, the court action, and they went towards a conviction. They didn't need him to do that.
Yeah, could they convict him absentia?
Well, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
The judge ordered him back, and he refused to go back. She did. He refused to go back. And so he said, we'll continue then without him. The prosecution rested. He was not there to defend himself. He was ordered to be there. He was not there to defend himself. And a day or two later, the jury convicted them both.
Well, I've seen things end up in different ways from that. It seems as though that this is a prime for an appeal. At what court? What level of court was this conviction at?
A district court level.
Well, I think things could work out. I am not discouraged about this whole thing. I had to go, actually. I was summoned to jury duty on January 30th, and this is the second time I stuck to my guns about being a fully informed juror. And I gave a lengthy speech about how I felt about the process of being a fully informed juror. And I think the court did have pause. They were shocked when I said that I was going to stick to that, and I think it succeeded.
Hang on a second, Fred. We've got a break here. We'll be right back. I'm going to play something special coming out of the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and each God-given right. And pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave? Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave? God bless you, and God bless this republic.
That poem was written by Thalen Pawk from Michigan. A copperhead just as I am, sitting here in Central Texas right now, ladies and gentlemen. And it was read by an Arizona State policeman that was sent to us back in, I do believe it was 1994. And I tell you what, it says it all. What are you willing to stand up for? What are you willing to defend? And more importantly, once we pass from this earth, what of our children? What are they going to be left with in this country? Fred in Pennsylvania, you're asking some very good questions. It is only speculation as to what's going to happen next. At the top of the program today, I said that Elaine had thrown away her tether, driven back to by a party, back to the Brown household. She said her place is with her husband, Ed Brown, and she doesn't care if the court has ordered her to stay away from him. That is her lawful husband, that is Ed Brown's lawful wife, and they are together.
Well, John, if I could, I think there might be a way out of this, and it has to do with Ed's position when he was in court, and he objected to the judge's planned instruction to the jury. Now, I was in a position where I was a prospective juror, and I objected to the judge's planned instruction to the jury.
Yeah, okay, but Fred, we don't know the case that you were involved with, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about it.
I'm not spending any time on it at all. I don't intend to.
Fred, hold on a second. I'm trying to make some clarification for the listeners out there. If you'll just go along with me here for a second. Were you actually allowed to be a seated juror in a trial?
No, but I got further along in explaining and convincing people that it was a fair position to take than I did the first time, which was about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this, with Ed's situation, I think that on appeal, I think that if you had a lot of people that understood that situation, that he, the reason why he objected to the judge's instruction to the jury,
right.
I think on appeal, I think it could be a way to...
All right, well, let me explain what's going to happen, because I've seen this happen repeatedly. He's already been found guilty. He has absconded with himself. He removed himself from the courtroom. He is now at home. If he goes for an appeal, he will be under arrest and denied bail. In other words, he's going to be locked up in jail. And if by chance, geez, and I couldn't imagine this happening, that another trial be rigged and that jury be under that yoke of the judge and his instructions again, it is a very real possibility that Ed Brown will not see the light of day. He'll be in a steel-walled cage with bars and maybe a toilet until the guy dies. He's 65 years old right now. This is what he's looking at. And Fred, don't get me wrong, but I've told people before that it only takes one person to hang a jury. What I would not do, what I would under no circumstances do, is I would let, during the process of selecting jurors, open up my mouth. I would be firmly ensconced in that trial. When it went to the jury for deliberation, that's when I would let loose. That's when I would explain to the jurors what their rights are. And at that point in time, there's not a doggone thing they can do about this. If you think back to Hoppe Heidelberg, and Bob, you mentioned this before about the grand jury. I think that he made a mistake by not presenting his case to that grand jury. I'm with you on that one. But if we remember about the Oklahoma City bombing that took place, remember Hoppe Heidelberg? Hoppe Heidelberg was part of a federal grand jury. Hoppe said, look, he says, we have rights here. We can call witnesses. We can demand. You know, we're not going to be spoon-fed by you federal prosecutors. We want to have a full picture and a full understanding of the dynamics of this and the charges and everything. They threatened to kill the guy, okay? So we're not dealing with just being able to waltz into court, make a good show, present a good case, and if justice prevails and God's paying attention to us on that particular day, that justice is served and justice is done. That's what's at stake here. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, let me return to the subject of Tom Cryer and give my view on the problem that we're having in these tax trials. And maybe Tom, with his experience as an attorney and a litigator, will be able to achieve what needs to be done. Apparently, he's well-read. He's read... he understands. There's no what the Supreme Court has declared the meaning of income to be within the meaning of the 16th Amendment, and so forth. So he's well read. He's got his facts straight. Now, in these tax trials, as we touched on earlier, John, it seems to me. The problem is this. Every American is entitled to put on a defense. It doesn't matter how off the wall or weird a defense might be. For instance, Dixon Cannon or Irwin Schiff, they could have said, hey, my defense is every night a little green guy came down from Mars and he stood by my bed and he told me what to do. He told me what the facts are. Fine, that's your defense. Just submit your evidence. Okay. But everybody's entitled to a defense. What's happening in these tax trials is the people, you saw it, Dixon Cannon, his defense was what he read. Irwin Schiff, great reader, his defense was what he read. The problem is these people are not able to show the jury what it is they read. If they're lucky, they're able to cite a section of the code. But when you do it that way, it goes right over the heads of these jurors. They don't know what you're talking about. But if you're not able to show the jury what you read, this is your evidence, then you're denied your ability to put on a defense, because that is your defense, what you read, what the law says. These people are not trying to tell the jury. It's a mistake to try to tell the jury what the law is. You don't want to do that. You just want to tell the jury what it is. You want to be able to show the jury. Let them read it for themselves. And the results would be far different. The judges are not allowing the defendants to show the jury what it is they read. They're not allowed to submit that evidence into the record.
And anything that would go contrary to the codes that are being read in court and being perceived by that jury as being the law.
Yeah, and so right. And so there, if you're not able, if the jury is only getting the evidence, the government's evidence, I mean, their evidence, you know, they start, the prosecution starts the case, and they bring in all of these, you know, IRS agents, and yeah, my job is to, you know, is to get, collect this information from the banks and review it, my job, you know, clearly this man earned this amount of money, and clearly he did not pay his taxes, there were no taxes, so they swear under oath, you know, all of these facts, and the government gets to present to the jury the government's evidence, but the defendant cannot get his evidence to the jury, and it's resulting, and the judge says, I know what the law is, you know, just take my word for it, you know.
Right.
And so these people are getting convicted. The proof of what I'm saying is with Dixon Cannon again. The Department of Justice in Fort Worth, they went to the grand jury to indict him in 2000, the 2001 grand jury. Dixon Cannon had the opportunity to meet with the grand jury, some 23 members, and he showed them, he was able to give them in writing, you know, what it was he read. And so the grand jury took a vote, and they refused to indict him based on, you know, their, I mean, I would, you know, they said to themselves, I guess, well, no wonder the guy, you know, didn't withhold from his employees and stopped filing, because this is what he read. The DOJ tried again in 2002, and again Dixon Cannon was able to meet with the grand jury and bring with him 23 copies and leave with each member of the jury so that they could review it what it was he read. The 2002 grand jury refused to indict him. In 2003, the grand jury, the Department of Justice, prevented Dixon Cannon from meeting with the grand jury.
Hence, they had their trial. Hence, the judge was able to fix that jury.
And so the grand jury, you know, it's been said, and it's true, a DOJ attorney general, they can indict a ham sandwich. So they got an indictment. Dixon Cannon was not there to give his exculpatory evidence, his vindictory evidence that would have vindicated him, as he's allowed to do. And, you know, I was, after his indictment, there was problems with the indictment. And so there was going to be, they needed to go back to the grand jury to get the grand jury to redo the indictment. That was an opportunity for Dick to try very hard, and his attorney, to try very hard to get in there to meet with the grand jury. And he negotiated, and eventually the DOJ was forced to say, okay, because it's his right, was forced to say, okay, you can get in there and you can spend an hour and meet with the grand jury. You can't have your lawyer with you, which is typical, and we'll be there and the judge will be there and so forth. And so the time was set. The date was set for him to get in there because there was going to be they needed to get the indictment redone. So we worked with Dick, and we prepared 23 copies, and he had with him, he was brought over from the jail to the courthouse. He was in the room where they keep prisoners who are going to go before the grand jury. His lawyer and a paralegal were in the elevator, taking the elevator down to the lower level where the grand jury was meeting, and assistant attorney general was in the elevator at the same time. And so when he got there, and of all the stupid things, they said, oh, well, we've got the material that Dick's going to give to the grand jury. And the guy said, let me see it. And they showed it to him. And he went in and talked to the grand jury. And when he came out, he said, that's it. They don't want to talk to Dick. And they took Dick back to his cell. He saw what Dick was going to show and give to the 20. He had 23 copies in this box. I worked with them on the memorandum that he was, it's a memorandum from Dixon Cannon to the members of the grand jury. And of all the stupid things, his attorney and paralegal allowed this turkey they showed him what it was that they were going to present to the grand jury. So he went in alone and talked to the grand jury and came out and said, that's it, they don't want to talk to you. You know? Foolish, just foolish. But I mean, so if you, what people need to do is insist, they need to make sure that what it is they read, that it gets before the jurors, that the jurors are able to read it also. And they've got to fight like heck to make sure that the record shows that the court prevented the defendant from defending themselves, from presenting their documentary evidence to the jury, the pettit jury or the grand jury.
We have Alan in Utah. Alan, we're coming up on a break here in just a couple of seconds. I'm going to get your call in after this break. And we are going to do a series of programming with Mr. Schultz on this issue. This is something, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not deriding anybody else's endeavors out there in the truth movement whatsoever, so do not misperceive what I am about to tell you. On the issues of 9/11, you're dealing with shadow governments and shadow people and special ops people and whatever else. This tax issue, millions of people are aware of it. We have a government that will not yield. This is something that can be proven by law. If we have an honest day in court, we don't have to go to the flying saucer crowd. We don't have to go to the spooks and kooks. We can do it, and we can do it together. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
We'll go to my last caller here with my guest today, Bob Schultz, GiveMeLiberty.org, and WeThePeopleCongress.org. Those are the two websites. It'll take you to all their information. There's petitions on there that you can sign. There's things that you can get involved with, ladies and gentlemen. Quit feeling powerless out there. Quit being a victim. Be a part of something that is real. Be in support of people that have been doing this for many, many years. It is important. And we're going to do something with this network that has never been done before. At the end of March, when Bob has this thing in Washington, D.C., we're going to clear a day. What day that is, either it's a Thursday or a Friday, we've not decided yet. But what we're going to do with this network is we're going to carry the D.C. event live as it happens with the speakers and all the happenings in Washington, D.C. We're going to carry that live for an entire day here on this network. Alan in Utah. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you, John, for taking my call. Just one quick comment and then a question, and I'll be out of here. One of your previous callers asked the question, did they think it was bad that Ed had obtained more weapons after having the government confiscate them? The Second Amendment is still a part of the Constitution, as far as I know, and I think he's exercising his right. Second question is, how does one obtain a copy of the recording that you just did after the last break?
We can make that available. We just have that on computer, but I'm sure we can burn a copy to CD.
Okay, I'll just, what number do I call to talk to someone?
800-724-2719.
2719. Thank you, John. Appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, thank you. Bob, we only have 2 minutes left here. Mm-hmm. Parting shot?
Well, I'm going to be in San Antonio Saturday afternoon and Phoenix on Sunday, and then in Tampa on Monday night. Just a quick round some of the border states, some of the southern states, where talk about the right to petition and to have and these petitions for redress of grievances regarding the North American Union, something we didn't touch on tonight, and the illegal immigration issue. We encourage people to get on our mailing list. It's a very huge mailing list. And we don't abuse it. Whenever we have something to say, we put it on our website, and then we'll take that article and send it to everybody. That's pretty much the extent of our use of the mailing list. But join the Congress. Sign up as a county coordinator. We are serious in our we know the importance of institutionalizing vigilance and being able to have people put a collective foot down, but it's going to take organization, and it's going to happen only if we do it county by county. So get involved in that way. Get on our mailing list, join the Congress, and show up at the conference. Let us know if you think it's too pricey, if you need a little help, financial help. I think we're going to be putting out an article, I don't know, in a day or two, letting people know that some of the folks are needing some assistance. By the time they get their airfare and their hotels and right. The registration to the conference, it's pretty pricey.
I understand. And what I would like to do, Bob, if you would, email me at johnstatmiller@hotmail.com with your event information. And I think that's McQueeny, Texas. And we'll yes. post that on our website, RBN Live, and also republicbroadcasting.org.
Yeah, it's a Silver Tap House at 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon in McQueeny, Texas, which is 25 miles outside of San Antonio, northeast.
Been there a few times. Bob, we're out of time. I okay. thank you for your time this afternoon, sir, and we're going to work with you and make sure that the job is done. Redress of government, we can force them to do it if we have the numbers. Thanks, Bob.
Stay well, John.
Bye. You too, sir.